really excited about what I want to share with you this morning. We're going to look at a young king named Josiah who changed the spiritual climate of his nation, mostly after finding, hearing, and most importantly, obeying God's word. This young king's response resulted in a powerful spiritual revival for Judah and Jerusalem. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret, something that's in my heart as we go through this time. It's been in my heart really since I became a believer. I was at a church in New York City that talked about revival. And I have been seeking, searching, crying out for revival most of my Christian life. But particularly now, I'm asking God to bring revival. And I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 so we can look at how God used Josiah to bring revival to Judah and Jerusalem. Let's begin in 2 Chronicles 34, starting in verse 1. Josiah was eight years old when he began to reign. Okay, did you hear that? He was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, meaning reigned as king. And he did, Josiah, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. And he did not, now David wasn't his father. It was like his great-great-grandfather, but he was from the line. Okay, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Okay, Josiah became king when he was just 8 years old. Now, obviously, he was the son of the previous king. And you say, wow, life of privilege. You know, he was raised in this great family. Well, he may have had the life of privilege of the king, but his grandfather, Manasseh, was an evil king, very evil. And his father, Amon, was evil as well. So he may have came from a place of royalty, but he didn't come from a good family. Even with this dysfunctional upbringing, Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Let's continue, verse 3. For in the eighth year of his reign, so he was 16, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and metal images. When Josiah was 16 years old, he began to seek God. Now, I want to speak to the youth of our church and anyone that's young, that's listening. You're 14, 15, 16, 17, whatever. Would you please be extra specially attentive? Because in this day, it was a 16-year-old boy. It was an 8-year-old king. And when he was 16, he began to turn the nation towards God. He began to seek God at 16. When he was 20, he began to address the worship of idols. Josiah, listen to what he did at 20. He took down the high places. The high places were places where idols were false gods, Chemosh, Baal, Ashtoreth. He went to these places, they would build things, and people would come and worship these idols, and he began to take them down. Now, there was some resistance there. People didn't want them taken down, they wanted them up. They wanted to worship these idols. But as the king, even as a young man, he began to take them down. He chopped down the altars. He made dust of the carved images and scattered the dust, listen, on the graves of the priests, of these false priests, these priests of these false gods. And then he dug up the bones of these priests who caused the people, led the people into the worship of idols. He dug up their bones, ground their bones up, and sprinkled them, and he burned and ground their bones up. Now, this was a young man with some passion and with some fire because he recognized that the worship of these false prophets, of these false gods, rather, and they being led by these false prophets and priests, it was destroying the nation. So he used his authority to righteously clean up the nation. when Josiah was 24 years old. You can read this if you want to go through all the scriptures. I'm just leaving out some things. But when he was 24 years old, after taking down the high places, he began to rebuild and repair the house of the Lord, the temple that Solomon had built. You see, in the people's moving away, you see, the nation of Israel had moved away from God. You don't just begin to worship false things. You stop worshiping God, and then you begin to worship things that aren't real. And as they moved away from God, they stopped worshiping in the temple. And after he tore down the high places and removed the evil, he began then to build back up what was right. So he began to repair the house of the Lord. Money had been brought to the temple by the people and collected for the repairs. So we'll pick up now in verse 14. And I want you to see, this is an amazing story of something that took place. Verse 14. While they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest, now this was a priest of the Lord, not a priest of the false gods. Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king. Now let me unpack this for you and tell you what had happened. As the people of Judah and Jerusalem had turned away from God and had begun to give themselves fully to the worship of idols, now Josiah began to address that and tear down the high places. And as he's beginning to rebuild the temple, while bringing out the money, Hilkiah the priest, this was the prophet Isaiah's father. He found the book of the law that the Lord had given to Moses. He found the Bible, the Old Testament Bible. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan was Josiah's secretary, his kind of assistant. And he said, hey, we found this book, and it's a pretty important book. Can you bring it to the king? Now, if the book had been found, it means that it had been lost. The Bible, it wasn't in that day, it wasn't like everyone had a copy, okay? The press and the copy machines and all that stuff, people wrote, it was written by Moses. They had the one that Moses had written. Maybe a couple of scribes had copied it, but there weren't a lot of copies. And how would people know how to live unless they heard the word of God that instructed them how to live? But the book had been lost, and perhaps that explains why they were so easily brought into the worship of what's false and lives filled with evil. Now, I want to ask you a question that we'll answer. Maybe we won't answer, but I want to ask a question. What is worse, to lose God's word or to have God's word and ignore it? What's worse? To have it lost where you can't find it, you don't know it's even there. I think the people didn't even realize it was there anymore. To lose it or to have it at our disposal and ignore it. Either way, the result is that God's word was not being obeyed. Let's pick up in verse 18. Then Shaphan the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read from it before the king. Shaphan, Josiah's assistant, he began to read from this book, the word of God, to Josiah. Verse 19. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. He tore them in a sense of grieving and mourning and repenting. because Josiah had never heard the words of the Word of God. He had never heard God's word. It had been lost. As an 8-year-old, he became king. As a 16-year-old, he began to seek the Lord. As a 20-year-old, tearing down the high places. At 24, he begins now to re-erect and fix up the temple so people could come and worship the true God. And now, for the first time in his life, he hears the word of God, which gave very clear instructions to the children of Israel and how they were to live. And when he hears it, he tears his clothes. Verse 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying this, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. Go find some spiritual people and help us. I need to know what this means. Listen, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. Josiah tore his clothes when he heard the words and he said, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. It's worse than I thought. Great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not obeyed God's word. Even though the Bible had been lost, Josiah recognized that the people were still responsible to follow God's ways. They were still responsible for their disobedience to the word of God, even though the book had been lost. Ignorance of God's law is not an excuse. Did you know that? I think I'm pretty serious this morning. I'm pretty fired up. I have really sensed the Lord speaking to me these past weeks, particularly this weekend, as I prepared this sermon. The sermon was actually prepared, and then the Lord began to speak and take this sermon, this truth that I'm sharing with you, and bring it deeper into my heart. My hope and desire is that this morning that I can transfer it from my heart into yours. The only way we'll know if that happened is if it changes our behavior. That's the only way. That's the only measure if our behavior changes. So let's continue in the story. Josiah sends his secretary to a woman named Huldah. Okay? She was a prophetess, a woman prophet. And he sends his secretary to this woman to inquire about what this means. What does this all mean? We'll pick up in verse 23 as she responds. And she said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, tell Josiah, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah. You see, if you read through the Old Testament, God established a covenant with the nation of Israel. And he said, if you do this, obey me, then I will do this, bless you. But if you disobey me, then you experience my curses will come upon you. And Josiah is hearing this. He heard it for the first time in his life. He's 24 years old. He's the king. And he realizes there's a big problem. Disaster was coming because God's people had forsaken him. Let me just continue reading there. We were in verse 24. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath, God's wrath, did you know God has wrath? God is love, but God can get angry as well. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Disaster was coming because God's people had forsaken him. God's wrath would be poured out upon the nation. But then Huldah, this woman prophetess, she tells Shaphan, Josiah's assistant, she speaks to him about King Josiah. She says, but King Josiah, it's going to be a little different for him. Look at verse 26. But to the king of Judah, this is Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him. This is what I want you to tell Josiah. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have read, if you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. The Lord, through this woman prophetess, sends the message to Josiah that because, Josiah, your heart was tender. Now, Travis is here. He's our youth pastor, and his son's name is Josiah, and you need to tell him, if he's not listening, he can listen in and tell Josiah, your oldest son. His youngest son is named Solomon, okay? And of the two kings, I think Josiah, as you'll probably agree, was the one that really followed God. Solomon started out good. He didn't end up so good. But would you tell Josiah that I see him becoming a man like Josiah as he grows up? Tell Josiah said that. I miss him. Tell him I'm going to give him a hug when I see him, when I'm allowed to. Okay. Because your heart was tender, because you humbled, this is a king. He didn't have to answer to anyone, but he chose to answer to God. Because you humbled myself, the Lord told the prophetess to tell Josiah, I have heard you. When you tore your clothes, when you wept, when you wept, when you prayed, when you cried out, I heard you. I heard your prayers. Now, I'm going to give you three principles of effective leadership. This is the first one. Because, guys, I want to tell you, before I give you the first principle, that I'm after something. You know what I'm after? I'm after revival. I want to see revival come in our nation. I want to see God sweep up hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions. I want to see millions of people caught up worshiping God, coming back. Revival means that those that left, you need to be revived because you revived, but then you got away, and now you need to be revived. You need to be brought back to God. I want to see millions of people in America come back to God. That's what I want to say. And once they come back to God, then we can reach out to the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and they'll follow us. That's what I'm after. So I have to look for the principles that cause God to hear, to hear. And here is one. Principle of effective leadership for revival number one. The qualification of someone who leads for God is the condition of their heart. A tender and humble heart will get God's attention. God didn't hear Josiah because he was the king. God's not impressed with our position. He's impressed with the condition of our hearts, not the position of where we are in life. A tender and humble heart will get God's attention. And I am hoping and praying that I can get God's attention. Verse 28. Listen to what he tells the prophetess to tell Josiah. Behold, I will gather you, Josiah, to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. The Lord said to Josiah, because you have a tender and humble heart. Temple is tender and humble combined. I just combined them there, okay? A tender and humble heart. He got God's attention, and God said, not in your lifetime. You, Josiah, because of your tender and humble heart, all the people that you're leading in your lifetime, they will not see what I'm about to do. Now, as I stand here, I hear thunder. I hear thunder. It means the lightning came first, right? Then the thunder. And perhaps God is voicing his approval to what I'm saying. Because when I speak from God's word like this, I have a lot of confidence that I'm speaking in his authority. Not in your lifetime. We are facing things right now. I believe what we're facing in America is a warning. It's a warning to the church. It's a dress rehearsal to wake up the church. The church. I'm not worried about the unrighteousness in the world. I'm worried about the unrighteousness among God's people in the church. And we may not have lost the Bible, but we ignore the Bible. We ignore it. You say, Joe, have any evidence? Well, I'll tell you what I always say all the time. I'm always talking about this. I do a lot. I was a youth pastor for 17 years. I work with young people. I do a lot of pre-marriage counseling right now. And this is like one of the things. This is a high place that I want to tear down. We have allowed the sexual revolution that took place in the 70s and has matured into there are no standards of morality. But read the Bible and you'll never be able to say that. And yet we have a generation of single, young people who claim to be Christians who are involved sexually just as much as anyone else. We ignore the Word of God. We drink alcohol to the point, I'm not against alcohol, I'm against drunkenness. We drink alcohol just like everyone else. We put things in our mind. We don't act like the people of God. And if God would judge the nation of Israel, what makes us think that we get to skate free? We get away with it all because we have this life insurance policy called our salvation with Jesus Christ. Now listen, I believe that if you know Jesus Christ, then you are saved and your sins are forgiven, but that doesn't give us the right to live a sinful life and think God won't step in and deal with us. It's a warning, not to the world, to the church. I'm not saying God brought this about. I'm not saying he didn't. How would I know? And how would you know? I'm saying that this is something to get our attention and bring us to a place of revival, if that's what we desire. Let's continue. Because Josiah now hears this, not in my lifetime, and he committed himself fully to God. Look at verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king, Josiah, went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, all the people, both great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Josiah read now God's word to the people. And then he made a covenant before God and the people to keep God's commandments with all of his heart. That's the kind of king that I'd want to follow. I'm not big on kings. I'm more of a president guy, you know, because I'm American. But if I had to follow a king, and the king is saying, I am going to give everything, I'm going to do all I can to worship and follow our God and keep all his commandments. Principle of effective leadership for revival, number two. Leaders set the example for the people they lead by going first. We go first. We initiate. We lead the way. In the kingdom, leadership is not a position of high standing. It's a position of servanthood and of initiating right direction. Not high standing, right direction. Now, next, it was the people's turn to respond. And I need to remind you, Josiah was not the president of Judah. He was the king, okay? So you'll see, because he is going to be a little, maybe more strong-handed than most Americans would like. Look at verse 32. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah didn't ask the people if they were going to follow the Lord. He made them. He said, you're going to follow the statutes of the Lord. Now, I don't think that would go along very well in America. And I don't really think, I think in that day it's all fine and all good. But I think in the New Testament we see that Jesus wants us to choose. In fact, you really can't do anything but choose. Because if someone makes you do something outwardly that needs to be motivated inwardly, you'll just maybe go through the motions if you have to. But it's really the heart God wants. But Josiah wasn't messing around. He said, you're all going to do this. I'm making everyone here follow the Lord. Verse 33. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Josiah followed through by taking away and keeping away the high places during all his days as king. And during all his days as king, the people followed the Lord. Now, because I read ahead yesterday, I've been reading through the Bible at a pretty quick pace. 13 chapters a day will get me through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation. It'll get me through in 3 months. But I'm starting to accelerate. And it just so happened yesterday in my journey, I'm in Jeremiah, which is talking about what happened after Josiah died. I just so happened to coincidentally be in that passage of Scripture. And then I read Lamentations, which tells about what happened let me tell you what happened. After Josiah died, Josiah's sons did evil in the sight of the Lord, just like grandpa, great-grandpa, and led the people to once again ignore the Word of God. Finally, Judah and Jerusalem were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, and they were removed from the promised land for 70 years. Principle of effective leadership for revival number three. People will rise or will fall based on the lives of the one or the ones that are leading them. Will rise and fall. People will rise and fall based on the lives, not the words, the lives of the one or the ones that are leading them. Now, in this room are a bunch of leaders in our church. And I'm leading our church. Christ is the head of the church, but he puts humans to, and our job is to lead with all our hearts because it will rise and fall. This church and where this church is, our spiritual temperature will rise and fall based on my spiritual temperature and based on yours. The catalyst to this revival was finding God's word and having found it, hearing it, and having heard it, obeying it. Now I want to ask you that question again. What is worse, to lose God's word or to have it and not read it and, of course, not obey it? Which is worse? I'll just say this. Neither one of them is a good idea. Not a good idea to lose it, but it's not a good idea to ignore it. And for some of us, we need to do one of these. Go find it. I'm not sure where it is. Blow off the dust. Now, some of us, we actually carry it to church, Christians. We bring it to church so there's not dust on it, but you don't even need it because we put the words up there for you, right? And so you don't have dust on it, but you're not opening it, and you're not reading it. And certainly, we're not obeying it. So I told you that I have been reading 13 chapters a day. I haven't always done that. I always read the Bible. I usually read a chapter a day. And I'm 2 months into this deal. I'm about two-thirds through the scriptures, and I'm addicted. There are good addictions, by the way. There is no 12-step program for the person that gets addicted to God's word. And I'm being brainwashed. Listen, my brain is being washed with God's word. And it is further transforming my life. In fact, you know what I decided? I'm going to get through. I have one more month and I'll be through. And then there's 6 months left in the year. And I'm going back and I'm reading through the entire Bible 3 times this year. So when I get through the last third of it, then I'll start again and do it 2 more times in 2020. Why? Because it's transforming my life. Now, I want to just read just a couple of scriptures and then I'm going to be done. So we're not ready for the band, but we're not far from being ready for you, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Listen. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. All scripture. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture is profitable. It's profitable towards helping us to become righteous. Remember, we said the prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. So as we read the scripture and it shows us how to live our lives, and as we do the best we can to obey, allowing the Holy Spirit within us to give us the strength to do that, when we mess up, we ask God to forgive us, and Christ forgives us all of our sins. But as we read the scripture and try to apply it, we become righteous and our prayers have more power. Ah, the secret to revival. God's people get revived and they begin reading the scripture and obeying it, and our prayers start to get God's attention. Okay. Look at another verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word, listen, it's living, it's active. I mean, I wish I had a way to make my Bible get up and start walking around. Because as I read it and put it in my heart, it enters my heart. And the words are alive. It does great things. Well, Joe, I'm not sure about that. Start reading it. You start reading it. And see what happens. See what happens. It gets to the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Further righteousness. See, a lot of times we're concerned with what we do. Oh, did I do something that was sinful? But the scripture gets to why we do what we do. The thoughts and motives of the heart. So the person that is abusing drugs, be careful about judging them. The person that's abused, be careful. Alcohol, be careful about judging. The person even that's caught up in sexual sin, be careful about judging them, because the word of God can get through to the intent of their heart. And sometimes what's behind some of those substance addictions is a desire to escape pain. God understands that. And when you get to the reason why you're drinking or taking drugs or smoking weed so much, okay? Now, again, you can't smoke weed legally here in Texas. You can go to, there's a lot of places you can go. We won't mention those places you can go. But why do people do that? To escape the pain, so don't judge them. How about you that are trying to escape the pain, masking it with something else, how about you allow God's word to get into your heart and to bring healing? So you no longer need those things. The sexual sins that we get involved in, be careful that you don't judge people. Some of them have experienced horrific things in their childhood and in their youth. And there's all kinds of reasons. But why not allow the word of God to get inside and bring healing? One more verse I want to look at. And then I'm going to close our time out in prayer. James chapter 1, verse 22. Listen to what it says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word. Don't just listen to it. In fact, don't just read it. Do what it says. The price for seeing our country, our city, our church, maybe we just start with our lives. The price for seeing revival come to these places will absolutely involve reading and obeying God's word. And that's what I'm calling you to do this morning. Will you join me in leading the way for this awakening, this revival that we're praying for? Would you become a man, a woman, a teenager that now begins to read God's word and does what it says? And then our righteous prayers can see our world change and brought back to God. Would you do that? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we can see that the revivals that were experienced, this particular one in Josiah's day, it pushed off your judgment because this man, his heart was humble. His heart was tender. He heard the word of God and he desired to do what it said and to use his position of authority as a king to have his nation follow in your footsteps. And it staved off, it pushed off your judgment. Thank you for doing that. Lord, we know that someday you will return. Jesus will return. But Lord, we want him to return, but until he does, we want to see revival. We want to see your people brought back to a place that they're bowing before you, they're living for you, they're worshiping you, they're following you. And then we want to see people that don't know you looking at our lives and saying, wow, I see the reality of Jesus Christ in their lives, and I want what they have. Lord, would you bring revival? And would you start that revival with us and focus it on your word? In Jesus' name we pray.